Episode 104 of the Family Podcast Network. I just had a baby.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. The date today is May the 29th, 2012. Our topic for today is a day in a hospital nursery. We're going to talk a little bit today about my recent trip of being in a hospital nursery with my baby and some very unusual, very odd, and very fascinating experiences that I have in there that I think parents are going to want to know about, hear about, and learn a little bit about enjoying some of what we learned from there. Well, guys, before we get into that, let's get into some real quick housekeeping for today. As always, remember that if you guys want to get into the free updates and info, there is an email sign up on the side over here that you can sign up for my free auto updates. Very nice system, very easy to get into and unsubscribe to if you don't like it. Just helps to be able to get information out to you guys a little quicker. Just don't want you guys to miss that information. Also consider signing up on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, or any of the other host of places that you can do. YouTube is a place that I highly recommend you guys check out. If you have not been checking that out, highly recommend. Go jump over to my YouTube account. All you got to do is look on the right sidebar, scroll down below the Connect to FPN pages, and look down there. There's a link that you can jump over to my YouTube page. I've been knocking out stuff called Trey's Tidbits. It's just the one-minute soundbite, family-friendly soundbite for parents on the go, and basically just some little snippets of stuff that you're not going to get over there. Now, there are now two new things that I have just updated on that on the YouTube website now. I put up some exclusive information, some exclusive videos of Charlotte Louise Gibson just minutes after she was born, just some fun videos that's on there. And then also one of Trey's Tidbits is a sneak peek at Charlotte Louise Gibson. And that's just a quick video that I do of Cora after she's born, and I introduce to you her to you guys on video at the hospital. Definitely want to go check those out. If you're just like cute babies, you're going to get your fill. And then if you just want to see some kind of fun stuff about babies while we were sitting in the nursery, which kind of dovetails what we're talking about today, definitely want to check that out. Okay, with all of that said, guys, I do want to get into my topic, but not before I say one more thing to you guys. I want to talk to you guys real quick about what today actually is. Now, I'm recording Tuesday's episode on Monday. It's one of the natural byproducts is that I record the night before so that way I can get the podcast out to you guys early the next morning. And anyway, today is, as most of you know, Memorial Day. And I wanted to take a little time to talk about what Memorial Day is and what it means. I think a lot of people see Memorial Day as national, let's have a barbecue day. Now, is there anything wrong with having a barbecue? No. My family had kind of a pseudo-picnic type thing as well. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong under any circumstances with doing that. And do not hear me say that there is. That is perfectly, 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 perfectly fine. However, I think that we very quickly forget that Memorial Day is about memorializing, remembering the men and the women who have gone out and fought, in most cases on foreign soil, and have died for the freedom that we get to experience. I always want to ask people when they say, yeah, Memorial Day, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Did you go to a wounded soldier, not a wounded soldier, excuse me, did you go to a cemetery where they bury soldiers and commemorate one of them? Did you thank somebody who did it? And I'm not talking those plucky, dry things that you can do that seem to me to be more lip service, but really go and thank somebody. Did you see a veteran or somebody in BDUs or ABUs and walk up to them and shake their hand and tell them, hey, I appreciate your service. I don't care what you do. I appreciate your service. Now I want to make sure that I'm clear. As a guy who loves military stuff, I love military stuff. I love firearms and rifles and tanks and aircraft and F-22 Raptors. I mean, I am a nerd for military junk. I love that stuff. I'll tell you, there's nobody that hates war more than me. It tears men and women up. It creates rifts. It destroys and it kills. But I tell you, there's one thing that really burns me. And it's those folks that don't respect the sacrifice of those who went to war and fought and died. Now, before you get burned at me, I want you to hear me say, I get equally as disgusted at those who blindly support any military action and then think that that means that you're supporting the troops. I am not pro-war, but I am for respecting those who have fallen in battle. So to anybody listening to this podcast, if you've lost someone, my heart is with you today. I remember you today. I remember all who have fallen. I respect you and I honor your memory. And I give you literally a full salute. Thank you for your service. And for many of you, thank you for your death. All right, guys. I'm sorry to start that out with such a heavy heart, with such a heavy weighted thing. But I get authentically frustrated when I see this day treated as more of a recreational holiday. There's nothing wrong with going out and barbecuing and having fun, whatever it is that you do. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't want anybody to get offended or feel like I'm telling them that if they had a barbecue today, they did something wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. But I do want to make sure that people are remembering and respecting and wholeheartedly understanding exactly what today is about. It's not glorious. As a matter of fact, it's very inglorious in many cases. Okay, anyway, we got to roll off on that. Sorry, guys. I get really fired up about this. Topic for today is, let's get on to some more fun stuff here. Topic for today is a day in the hospital nursery. Just a little bit of my firsthand information, some of my firsthand, reconnaissance of being in a hospital nursery this week. And one of the things that I noticed that was just so incredibly fascinating to me. Now, I want to be careful here at the front and give a disclaimer to you. I may offend some people today, and I need you to hear me very, very carefully right now. I am not trying to be offensive to you. Okay? I'm not trying to be offensive with what I'm going to say today. It is merely an observation that I noticed today this weekend as I sat in a hospital nursery. So what happened was this week my wife had called me on Wednesday and said, "Hey Trey, I've got some lower abdominal cramping. I really need you to come home early today." Because I think the baby may be on its way. I went home and we had a doctor's meeting the next morning. And on Wednesday, my doctor had called us and said, "Hey, I need you guys to come in. There's something that we need to talk about." Well, up to this point, this was going to be our fourth cesarean. And the doctor was going to allow us to do a vaginal birth. People say, "Trey, you're crazy. Why would you do a vaginal birth when you've got modern medicine?" Well, the reason is that the more cesareans that you have, the less likely you can have more kids biologically in the future is, or the more quote-unquote at risk, or the more nervous that doctors feel with you. So we wanted to have a natural birth as much as possible because my wife and I really don't feel like we're done having babies. So anyway, our doctor called us on Wednesday and said, "I need you to come in tomorrow so I can talk to you." We came in on Thursday, and our doctor informed us that though she had every intent to let us do it, the hospital policy at the hospital that we went to said that we could not, in fact, do the natural vaginal birth like we wanted. My wife and I were devastated. It was a major blow, really threw off our week. And we wind up scheduling the cesarean for the next day. We went home very distraught, very upset. Our last experience with the cesarean was very painful, a horrible experience overall. The staff at the hospital we were at was very poor, mean, mean-spirited, very unyielding to anything, and just a bad experience. My wife's pain, she had to sit post-op for 4 hours before they could get her pain under control. And so we were just so nervous about having this dadgum C-section. And the experience that we had in the hospital was incredible here. Staff was wonderful, very helpful and courteous, very nice. They stayed on top of my wife's pain medication when they got out. I mean, they were juicing her full of morphine back and forth. So she felt really good when I came out, was able to hold Charlotte Louise and really bond with her at the start and not be in pain, writhing. That was such a wonderful thing. Able to start her on breastfeeding instantly the minute that I got her in there. I rolled Charlotte Louise into the room and I got her out and handed her to her. And she just instantly was able to start breastfeeding. And it's just a wonderful thing. Just a wonderful experience that we had. But let me tell you about what I noticed while we were in the nursery. So they cut open my wife and took the baby out, which she just had tons of hair. It was so cool. And I'll be honest, guys, I cried again. Even as a dude, I'll admit it. I cried again when she came out, even before that first little cry came out of her mouth. I started crying. I was ready for it on the previous three. I was not ready for it on this one because my wife and I have talked about it on the previous three. Are you going to cry this time? And I was like, I don't know. And my wife said, oh, I'm going to. And each one of those times, I was kind of prepared that might happen. This time, we didn't talk about it. And the minute she was out, I mean, it's kind of like that race that you've been training for and training for and training for, and you ran that race and you finished and you've received the prize for all the work that you've done. And I cried again. I'm going to be honest. I'm not afraid to admit that. They went over there and they cleaned my daughter up and they stuck her in a cart and they said, what do y'all want to do? And my wife and I talked about it. I said, my job is to stay with her everywhere she goes. And I said, no problem. So I actually got to wheel the cart and everything. I got to wheel her out of there, and we wheeled her over to the nursery, and I scrubbed into the nursery. And when I say scrubbed in, literally, they make you scrub like a doctor, hand sanitize like a doctor, and then you got to wear a little yellow gown. It's really pretty. But I had to wear this little yellow gown as I went in there, and I sat her, and they wheeled her over to the table, and they turned on the little heater, and they began to poke her and prod her. And when I'm talking poke her and prod her, I'm talking like thermometers up the hoo-hole and taking sticks and, you know, Special K and Special K. I knew I was going to say that. Vitamin K in the leg. And then they did the little heel stick and all this other good jazz to check her blood glucose level. And she was sitting there in nothing but a diaper and amniotic fluid all over. So it's going from this wonderful experience to just this very uncomfortable experience. So the whole time, what am I doing? I'm sitting there and I'm talking to my daughter. Hey, sugar. Hey, baby girl. How are you? How you just talking to her. And the reason behind that is that I'm trying to give her. I mean, I've been talking to her in the womb, and so I'm just trying to give her something familiar that she can latch onto. In my mind, I mean, I'm thinking, does she really know who I am? Maybe not. Maybe she's like, I don't know what the heck this thing is that's gabber jabbering at me, but I'm going to look at it because it's interesting. I don't know. Maybe she understands nothing. Maybe she didn't connect with anything in terms of, oh, this is dad. Oh, okay, I got it. Maybe not. But regardless of that fact, I sat there and I continued to talk to my baby daughter. Now, you know, in the nurseries, they really actually kind of desire for them to cry a little bit, especially babies that are C-sections like mine was, because a lot of times they don't get that amniotic fluid squeezed out of their lungs as they pass through the birthing canal, through the body of the woman's body. And a lot of times that squeeze will actually help squeeze the juice out of their lungs and help them be better. Well, our kiddo didn't get that. So she had a little bit what's called wet lungs. And so they wanted for her to cry a little bit because that's a large part of what helped it clear. And so, you know, I struggled not to want to comfort her and stop her from crying because I don't want my baby being upset. Not when she just first gets here. You know, and I think that's kind of a natural reaction for a lot of parents. So they sat down, they did the Apgar test, the vitamin K, etc. They did all those other things. So during this time that I couldn't really pick up my daughter and I could only do limited things to comfort her, I took a minute to stop and look around this giant nursery. And these six other little babies that were in there, all cute, precious, but they all had something in common. Nobody was in there with them. Newborns fresh out of a womb were sitting in a room all by themselves. And I couldn't help but think, not judgmentally, not hurtfully, not condemningly, but I couldn't help but think, where's Mama? Where's Daddy at? Why are these little tiny babies in here by themselves? Honest to God, this is going to sound so goofy, but I just wanted to go grab every one of the bassinets and just pull them around me. And just talk to them and rock them. Now, I know I would get in major trouble for that, so I didn't do it. But I wanted to so bad. They were all alone in the room. Some of them were crying. They were just laying there. There was nobody to comfort them. Now, I'm not poo-pooing on staff at all. Staff was doing the absolute best that they could with what they had. I mean, they had a lot of babies in there. They had two ladies working. And I'll be honest, I think because I made them maybe a little uncomfortable being in there at first, I think they really wanted to attend to my kiddo because I was standing right there. And she was the newest one to hit the block at the time. And so I think that there was a lot of, you know, they were really wanting to expedite my process. But still, little baby's just sitting in there crying. So I'm not poo-pooing on staff when I say that. The staff there was amazing. Nor am I poo-pooing on the parents. This isn't an issue of, oh, well, they've been good parents and blah, they've been in there, blah, blah, blah. That's not what I'm saying. I understand there's a lot of extenuating circumstances. And I'll be straight with you. Up until about 6.5 years ago, which is just right before my daughter was going to be born, I wouldn't have been in that room either. I would have let them wheel them right out of there. But about 6.5 years ago, my daughter's about to be 6. I started researching parenting. Found this little ditty called Attachment Parenting. Fell in love with it and the philosophies. And one of the things that it suggests is putting yourself in your children's shoes. Understanding where they are and what they feel, even as the tiny little infant. And I began to imagine if I was spent 9 months in this warm, dark place, I could hear the sounds of my mama talking all the time, maybe my daddy too, having the rocking of movement as mama moves around. And again, it being just nice and dark in there, so comfortable. And then all of a sudden... In just a matter of minutes, I'm brought into this bright, and I mean, usually cold. I mean, let's be honest, hospitals, man. I'm a big guy, and I like things pretty cold. But dadgummit, I even found myself in there getting just chilly. So they come into this bright and usually really cold place. And then often they're bundled up and they're wheeled into nurseries, and they're left in pitch quiet. The exact opposites. And then you got to think, when they're inside the womb, they're sitting there listening to the sound of fluid. You ever been underwater? Imagine you spent 9 months with that sound, and then all of a sudden that water is gone from your ears. And it's pitch quiet in this nursery. You're completely still. You're not rocking like you have been. You're just completely still, laying flat on your back in this tiny little bassinet in a hospital. And then you get poked. And you get prodded and stuck. And as much as the staffs anywhere you go are going to be amazing and awesome, they are not going to care and comfort and love and cuddle and coddle your kiddo like you would. They're going to do it and be sweet. But they're going to do it with a clinical and medical perspective. Is that what you want your kid rolling into? I'm going to iterate again. Reiterate. I'm going to iterate again here. I am not condemning somebody for not doing this. It's not my purpose to offend in this, but to get you thinking. Is that how you would want to be brought into this world? But in the case of my daughter, Charlotte Louise, Daddy was there. The voice that she had been hearing for 9 months previously was there comforting her. Again, I want to be honest. I don't know if she really understands or recognizes that this is the voice I've been hearing. I don't know. But here's what I will tell you. My daughter didn't cry very long. Even when they shoved that vitamin K in her leg, she didn't cry for long because Daddy was there stroking her hair, talking to her softly. I soothed her. I talked to her. I rocked her when they would let me. I stroked her head when they wouldn't. And here's what I'll tell you. She cried much less than the other babies in that room. Attachment parenting rests on developing that attachment from the kid to the parent. That becoming attached to them and loving them and just wanting to do everything that you can for them. And them developing that for you. Ah, they attach to you. The world is a safe place because when I'm crying, or when I'm hurting, or when I'm scared, Mommy and Daddy come and pick me up. They comfort me, they soothe me, they bring me down. I even watched my daughter follow my voice as I went back and forth from each side of the bassinet. And she'd follow me even over the nurse. Some would say, how do you know she wasn't just listening to your voice and just following you because you were interesting? Maybe. I don't believe it. I firmly believe that she understood that what she was following was her safety. Was the person who cared and loved about her, who would, the minute she came out of her mama, the one who had made his mind up that he would die for her if he needed to. Instantly, I made that decision. It was a very neat experience to see attachment parenting at its finest. You know, people, I hear all of these, and I'm about to say something that's going to offend some people, and at this point I don't care anymore. But I see all these people that keep saying, oh, I was up so late last night with our baby. We were up 3, 4, 5, 10 times feeding. Tell me a little bit about your feeding then. They say, well, you know, we have them in their own room, in their crib, in a separate place, and all these different things, and we have them on a, you know, we have to feed them once every hour, and we measure these things out, and we feed them for 15 minutes, and then we make them stop. All of that is opposite to attachment parenting. And we've started this attachment parenting thing with little Miss Charlotte Louise. The minute she popped out of her mama, Daddy started attachment parenting style with her. And I genuinely and firmly believe that that is the reason why, after 2 days of having her home, she sleeps through the night. We don't wake up every 2 hours to her crying. Because I think she has attached with her mommy and daddy. And she knows beyond the shadow of any reasonable doubt that her mommy and daddy love her more than anything else. There's no fear. There's no insecurities. She gets to eat as long as she wants. As many times as she needs. And because we're willing to do that and count the costs, she feels safe. And when you feel safe, you sleep better. Let me tell you, when little Cora Louise sleeps better, so do mommy and daddy. If you haven't ever checked out attachment parenting, seriously, go check it out. I'm not saying that because it's another parenting thing that I think you should go look at. I'm saying that because we have become happy, joy-filled parents, not pulling our hair out, not ready to punch somebody in the face because of attachment parenting. Go check it out. Go check it out. Trey, you're saying that I need to be in there with my kid after they're born? Maybe. Maybe. In many ways, if nothing else, this is a call to daddies. Get off your butt and stay with your kid. Be there for them. Because that staff, as awesome as they are, isn't going to do it like you would. It's a fact. So maybe this is a call to daddies. I understand there's some situations with mamas that, I mean, you're single moms and you don't have that luxury. We don't know where dad is, and after a cesarean, you sure as heck can't pack it up and go in the nursery with him. I understand that. I understand that there's exceptions to all those rules. This is my encouragement. Not because I'm superior and I know more than you. Bull, that's not even the truth in case. That would never pass. Not me, at least. But what I am saying is this stuff does work. And I want you to experience as headache-free of parenting as you can. It is possible. Guys, that is all that I have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. And guys, have a great day. Have a great week. Happy Memorial Day. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow on our next episode.